Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. But Christ is all and is in all. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures for us, to give us understanding, Lord. Be that more than human understanding, but supernatural understanding. Lord, help us to do more than hear it, but to apply it. Might it become part of who we are, and might it direct how we live and interact with those around us. Lord, we pray for your blessing to be upon your people this morning as we come to worship you in song and the word and in communion. Lord, as we look at your word now, might it be your name which is lifted up, and might it be your people who are encouraged and brought closer to you. Might each person here go away from this time this morning with an encouragement for themselves. Might they know that you've spoken to them and shared with them your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, as we're working our way through Colossians, we need to remember that this letter is a letter from Paul to the people in Colossae, dealing with the issues of these false teachers. We had people who were coming in and bringing in, similar to the Judaizers, that stuff. Also, this the beginning of this Gnostic thought, this Gnostic heresy, where they have these supernatural revelation, which only they have. It's not in the Word, but they have this extra learning or this extra revelation, and they are taking this and they're bringing it to the people in Colossae, and Paul is responding. And last week, he asked them, why were they trying to tie themselves back to the law after Christ had freed them from it? He said, you're free. The rules of the world, they're not for you. Now, he doesn't leave them hanging, saying, there are no rules for you. He says that, and he moves on here in this first part of chapter 3 and starts laying out how to live. And we'll cover more on how to live, not according to the law, but according to God's mercy and grace and His teaching. And we do that first and foremost by setting our minds and our hearts on Christ. Set our minds on Christ, our hearts on Christ. He's supposed to be our focus, not the law, not the rules and regulations that people have put together and said, do this, do that. Not the way we look and appear to others, though we are to live our lives in such a manner that we do make Christianity look good to others, but we don't do that by being concerned about our appearance. We do that by trying to reflect Christ in our lives, by putting our hearts and our minds, by setting our hearts and our minds on Christ. What is the most important thing in your life right now? Is that thing which you have probably been thinking about for the last hour while everything else is going on? This comes back to your mind time and again. That's the place that Christ is supposed to hold. Set your mind on Him. Focus. He's what we're supposed to be looking at. Time and again, I've said that when we come to a difficulty, instead of looking at the difficulty, we should look at the solution. This is one of the passages where I pull that from. We are to set our mind on Christ. This is the solution. This is how we're supposed to live our lives, by setting our minds and our hearts on Jesus Christ. See, for when you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now remember in chapter 2, he was talking about how we were baptized with Christ. And baptism is symbolic of death. We have the many things that go on, but one of the things is the burying in the water and then the resurrection that comes out as we come out. And we are covered with Christ's salvation, just as at the Passover, it was the blood of the Lamb which was put over the doorpost. We have the blood of Christ put over the doorposts of our lives. And that covers us. And we are hidden under it. We are hidden with Christ. We are buried with Him in our baptism. And it's through the work He did on the cross that brings us salvation, which brings us restoration. So instead of being tied to the law, now that we've been freed from it, we say, well, what are we supposed to tie ourselves to? Christ. We do that by setting our face and our minds to Him. Set our hearts and minds to Him. And then He who is your life appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. We're going to take communion today. And this is what this is all about. He is our life. We are new creations in Christ when we accept Him as our Lord and Savior. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's not talking, this letter is not addressed to non-believers. He is talking to the faithful in Colossae. He is talking to those who want to follow Christ. But these other people have come in and said, well, in order to be a good Christian, you got to do this. You know, you got to do that. You got to follow this rule and you got to follow that rule. And Paul's coming back and saying, don't listen to these people who are telling you got to abide by all these rules. That's wrong. Because you've been freed from that through the work Christ did on the cross. He fulfilled the law. He didn't nullify it. He didn't make it moot. He fulfilled it. He completed every aspect of it. Is there penalty for our sin? Absolutely. And if we don't accept the penalty, the payment that Christ made for that penalty for ourselves, we have to pay it ourselves. And the truth of the matter is, we can't. The only payment we can have is to spend eternity in separation from God. And that's torment. We don't want it. You don't want it. I don't want it. So we have, as Paul's moving on, he's letting us set our face on Christ, set our minds and our hearts right there. And now he's telling us how we do that. By putting to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he's listing those things up. Don't let these be the things that are guiding you. Your earthly nature. Evil lusts, desires, greed. Greed is nothing more than idolatry, he tells us. Supposed to give up rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Why? Because as we're looking at Christ, our mirrors reflect what it is. Our lives are mirrors. Our mirrors reflect. Our lives are mirrors. What we take in reflects back from us. You don't believe me? Check it out. There's a computer slang saying that's a giggle. Garbage in, garbage out. But it's also in our lives. What goes into our lives, we reflect back out. As we go through, we take in all sorts of things. And it affects how we live and what we say and do. If you set a couple of small kids in front of a TV, and they're watching old-style Westerns, what game are they going to be playing that afternoon? Anybody? But Cowboys and Indians, why? Because they spent the afternoon taking in, or the morning, taking in those old-time Westerns, which are cowboy and Indian things. We're all like that. As we get older, maybe we're not quite as quickly to reflect, or we got more stuff in there, so it clouds it. But what comes in, what we are taking in, what we're doing with our lives, comes back out. If you're taking in nothing but sorrow or anger, the likelihood is you're probably going to have a pretty sour and unpleasant disposition. Why? Because it's what you're taking in. If it's all you're taking in. We need to take in other things to counterbalance. Joy. Hope. And Paul talks about some of those things later in this chapter, and we're going to look at some of those tomorrow, or next Sunday. But first, he tells us, first you need to take off the bad stuff. You need to wash it off, clean it. Anybody here ever clean a mirror in the bathroom after little kids have brushed their teeth? It's like, you can't even see through it. And it's like, there's stuff all over. And that's all on our lives. Stuff, take it off. Remember, that's what we're reflecting back. We take it off, and now we're focusing on Christ. We're taking in the good stuff. It's in our hearts and minds there, and we start reflecting that back. See, it says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Put on the new self. It's Christ. The image of our Creator. We're supposed to be putting that on. We're supposed to be reflecting it back to the world. And those other things, they get in the way. It's not that there's this new rule. You can't swear. You can't get angry. You can't have greedy thought. It's not that you need to follow those rules. What those are is they're hindrances to putting on the new self. There are hindrances to reflecting back Christ. My wife loves to buy clothes. And every once in a while, she gets the bee in her bonnet, and she's got to go get me something new because, frankly, I don't know how to dress myself. And of course, I have this bad habit of, like, wearing my nice shirt like I did yesterday when I was painting the garage, but we won't tell Donna about that. And so she's got to go get me something new. And she comes in the house and she's got the clothes. She went shopping. Did I go with her? No. But she comes back, she's got the clothes. And she says, "Put these on." Now, if I really want to get her mad, what I do is I try to put the t-shirt on over the top of the sweater that I'm already wearing. Right? It just doesn't work, right? What do you got to do? You got to take off the old in order to put on the new. It's not because there's some rule. It just doesn't work. It's not... Well, one is not comfortable for me. And then the shirt doesn't look all that well. But I have to take off the old stuff and then put on the new. And that's exactly what we're being told here. It's just jettison that old stuff. I got something better for you. That's why he's telling us to do that. It's not because we got this whole new set of rules we need to do. It's just, this is stuff that's going to get in the way of you putting on the image of your Creator. Stuff that'll prevent you from wearing it right. How many of you put your belt on and then put the pants on? That's silly. Well, you put the belt on to hold the pants up. Some of us need the belt more than others. And we do it that way because that's what works. It doesn't work the other way. And that's all that's going on here. Paul is telling us this stuff is going to get in the way. To jettison it from your life. So here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. When we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, He comes to live in our hearts. So He's in all of us. And the blessings that He has that He wants us to, and the image of Him that He wants us to put on, these are blessings for us. It's good stuff that God has for us, a gift. It's got your name on it. Don't get tied up with those other rules. He said, just you take my gift, receive it, and do with it what you're supposed to do with it. Because there isn't one who's better than the other. The gift that I have for each of you is for you. There is no Greek, there is no Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised. There isn't... Remember, they were being told that the Jews could be better Christians. They were like a higher level Christians. And the Gentile Christians were... You know, like second class, they had to do this extra stuff in order to get close to the others. And that's all a lie. You don't have to be the super Christian. There isn't somebody out there who has it better than you do. Each one of us God deals with on an individual basis. Now there are some of us out there who've done a better job and some who've done a worse job as far as reflecting Christ. But that's all on an individual basis. It doesn't have to do with what flavor of... Yeah. Nothing to do with it at all. Doesn't matter who your parents are or where you live. Because Christ is all and He's in all. Equal. And that's the good news that the Lord gives us. We're going to take communion now. I'm going to ask that Mike and Ed wandered off.